This is The State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. Today marks the first court-imposed deadline to reunite immigrant children with their parents, and the Trump administration is not going to get the job done. Thousands of kids were separated from their parents at the border as part of the administration's zero-tolerance policy. This includes about 100 children under the age of five. So as this first deadline passes, government attorneys say they're working around the clock to reunite families, but reports show that haphazard record-keeping and poor coordination is slowing the process down. Franco Ordonez is a White House correspondent covering immigration and foreign affairs for McClatchy Newspapers, and he joins us now to talk about the latest. Welcome back, Franco.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so as we said, a federal judge ordered the Trump administration to both halt family separation and reunify all families by the end of this month. Today is the deadline for reunification between parents and kids under five. How is it going so far?
As you pointed out, they're not going to meet that deadline. They had today's deadline for about 100 of the youngest children who were under five. And lawyers for the government, for the Justice Department, came to the court and told them that they're not going to make it. There are going to be a lucky few who will be reunited, about half of those, about 54, who are going to be reunited with their parents. But we still have thousands, obviously, who are going to remain in limbo. And the judge is saying that he would be willing to give them more time, recognizing that it is a complicated effort. How much time, we shall see.
So you said thousands. There are thousands of children affected by this. Remind us who exactly these children are, who their parents are, where they're coming from.
So yes, there are about 3,000 kids who need to be reunited. They are predominantly from Central America, from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, who have been coming to the United States in this most recent wave of migration. Migration's seasonal. They're coming to North Carolina, for example, for agriculture jobs, for work in the poultry plants, to work in construction. And they've been coming by the thousands. There was a little bit of a drop-off last year when the Trump administration came aboard and there was concern about his bluster and rhetoric, but those numbers have picked up again this year as, you know, I guess human smugglers have learned that some of the protections are still there. And frankly, the economy is doing well and people are coming for jobs. And also the economy and violence in those countries is really bad.
So these kids and their parents are coming to the border. They've been separated because of the zero tolerance policy. So who is trying to reunite these children with their parents? Who's responsible for this?
So it was the zero tolerance policy that President Trump and his Attorney General Jeff Sessions put into place back in April that forced the kids to be separated. Just a few weeks ago, obviously, the Trump administration pulled back on the separation policy, issuing an executive order amid just an incredible uproar from the public, including from his own party and his base. And now it's a task of Health and Human Services, Customs and Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, who are trying to get these kids back with their parents. And it has been an incredible challenge for these agencies to get this done, hence why they're not going to meet this deadline. They don't have the records, all the records that they need. Many of the records were done in hand. There are reports that some of the data about whether these children were, in fact, tied with a parent had been deleted. Some of the information is, the victim of bureaucracy, but certainly there are a lot of questions about what was done. What is clear is that this kind of shows that the administration was not prepared to kind of reverse course so quickly, because they don't have like a database of separated children that they can just go to and search. So a lot of this work is being done by hand.
So you obviously mentioned record keeping and bureaucracy. I mean, traditionally we think of the government as being good at keeping records and bureaucracy as being a system full of numbers and data. So how exactly have we destroyed these records, or what exactly is going on that is preventing us from this record keeping?
Yeah, you would think that, you know, the United States would have great record-keeping systems, but, you know, I was just talking with a former Obama Justice Department lawyer last night who was telling me that, you know, that the government does a really bad job at keeping these records. They're very bad at keeping the records. They're very bad at keeping statistics. Oftentimes one agency does not do a good job of communicating with another agency. So this is a situation where Border Patrol and Health and Human Services are trying to work together, and what we're seeing is the challenges of those two big agencies trying to work together. What happens is that these records are spotty. A lot of these records that Health and Human Services needs to get in order to return the children to the parents need to be cross-checked with data from other departments such as Border Patrol. Some of those records, as you pointed out, have been deleted, whether they were with a parent or not a parent. So they're having to go back to some of the handwritten documents. Allegedly, even the secretary is going through these records, staying up until midnight, like reading all these forms that have been put out to see if there's any information in there that they could help them. After that, DNA tests need to be conducted to confirm that the parents are actually the parents. You know, we talked to the White House, and the White House says, look, that the children's safety is the utmost responsibility. And there have been cases in the past where children have been turned over to people who said they were the parents, and they, in fact, were not. They were actually traffickers. So they want to be very careful of that. However, you talk to groups like the ACLU, they want to be careful that these are not delay tactics, stalling tactics that could just lead to parents and children being separated longer and parents or their children being deported.
So they're trying to be careful. They're trying to prevent mistakes that have been made in the past from happening again. But there's also this new relationship between DHHS and Customs and Border Protection that were traditionally kept separate in the past. And that is really complicating things, complicating the ability to build trust with immigrants in the system. Can you tell me about that relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. So Customs, Border Patrol, DHS are obviously an enforcement arm. HHS, Health and Human Services, works with the Office of Refugee and Refugee Resettlement. They have been in charge of taking care of the children. They are the agency that puts these children with foster families in shelters. And they're also the ones who are in charge of reuniting the children, either with their parents or with other family members in the country. So in the past, the social workers have been able to be very clear with these families that they're not going to check their immigration status. They are not interested in identifying whether they're in the country documented or not. What their role was to put the child into a safe environment with their blood relative. What's happened, though, in recent months with the Trump administration is they say because of this lack, some of these cases where children were turned over to groups that were not actually family members, they're increasing the vetting. But what has also happened is it has made Health and Human Services turn over fingerprints and other immigration information of the parents to Customs and Border Protection, as well as federal agents and DHS. That has raised a lot of concerns among these families and among advocates about this relationship that they had, very protected relationship, now turning into one of enforcement, and that they will no longer be able to be trusted. It's a really tough thing because what happens is families, the HHS tries to reach out to these families to make sure that the kids are okay, that they're sleeping, that they're eating, that they're not having nightmares. But the kids are not answering the phone now. The families are not answering the phone because they're so worried that if they do answer the phone, this information will be passed over to Customs and Border Protection or ICE, and they could be the victims of an enforcement raid. And we've seen cases of that in the past year.
So trust concerns, privacy concerns, and I'm only leaving you about 30 seconds left for what I know is the million-dollar question. But where do we stand in terms of immigration policy moving forward? What has this illuminated about sort of where our immigration system stands now?
It really is the million-dollar question. You know, I've covered this for a while. It's an issue that I don't think there's any other that has been so emotional to the people that I speak with. I've spoken with people on both sides of the aisle on this issue. And frankly, while this family separation really brought people together, in an outcry against it, I still see a lot of daylight between the issues. President Trump continues to call for stronger, more forceful enforcement policies, and Republicans are behind him. So it does not seem like something that is going to be solved before the midterm elections. And I wonder, when it could be, because there is, this is an issue that is obviously something that has been a challenge for the United States, for North Carolina, for across the country for a long time. And sadly, I think it probably will continue to be.
Lots to look out for moving forward. We will keep track of your reporting. Franco Ordonez is a White House correspondent who covers immigration and foreign affairs for McClatchy Newspapers. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Just ahead, we've invested in Fitbits, gym memberships, and food delivery services, but sometimes we still can't resist the donuts in the break room. Dan Ariely is on next to explain why. You are listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.